On this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 55, beginning at the first verse. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. Excuse me. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is the word of the God, of the Lord. A second reading is from Romans 9, the first beginning of first verse. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, the gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Ed, I don't care what you say. If I gave you a gummy fish, I'd have to give one to everybody. Well, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. Why do you think McDonald's restaurants are so popular? Is it because they have really good food? Probably not. It's relatively good tasting for a quick meal, although some of you may have some issues with that. Maybe it's because you get your meal fast, which is true in many occasions, unless there's a big rush on or the serving staff is a little bit slow in getting it out. I think there are a number of reasons for their popularity. But I think one of the reasons is that you can buy a decent meal for a relatively small amount of money, especially when they upgrade the size of it for just a little bit more money. You know, they used to call it supersizing. That way, you can get much food for a relatively small price. I remember when our kids were young and how we didn't have a lot of money to spend on takeout food, and it was a real treat to go to McDonald's after church on Sunday. You know, we could have a full lunch without breaking the bank, and the kids get a toy too. Well, in our gospel lesson today, a lesson that we probably know pretty well, Jesus supersized the meal. Now, I want to give you some context for our lessons today, or our gospel lesson. A lesson that we know well, as I said. Jesus had started his ministry to the people. Prior to our lesson this morning, Jesus went into his hometown of Nazareth. And he didn't get a very good reception, to say the least. As a matter of fact, Matthew said that they took offense to him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So that was one thing that precedes our gospel lesson. The other thing, immediately before our lesson today, Jesus got some bad news. He got the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, was killed by Herod. So that's why our lesson starts out today. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. You can imagine that Jesus was saddened by these events that had occurred, and he wanted some time alone, probably some time to pray, some time to kind of rest up from his travels. But the crowds wouldn't let him. You see, they saw him in a boat and they followed the boat. And so that when he went to another shore, they were there when he landed. And so what did Jesus do? He saw them and he said, "Leave me alone." No, he didn't. He didn't do that. That might be something that we would do. No, of course not. Jesus had compassion on them and started and began giving them what they wanted. And he started healing the sick. But then as evening started approaching, they recognized, or at least his disciples recognized, that they had other needs, and that was the need to eat. Now, Jesus' disciples weren't as compassionate as he was, because although they recognized the need, they were going to send the crowd away to go find their own food. But Jesus said, "You feed them." What? How can we do that? And so they gathered up what they could find in the crowd that was to eat. And basically it was the a leftover lunch of a small boy was what they had. 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. But you know what? That was enough. That was enough for Jesus, because Jesus performed a miracle by making a little bit of food become much food. So much food that after everyone had their fill, they had 12 baskets of leftovers. He had a little to work with. But in his hands, that became an abundance. Yes, it was a miracle. 5,000 men were fed that day, not including women and children. So really, we're talking about upwards of 10,000 people that were fed by those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wow. You know what? It was even more than that. You might say that this little event in the ministry of Jesus became much to talk about, much to think about, much for pastors to do sermons on in the 2,000 years since it happened. I mean, who hasn't heard about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, right? Have you noticed that all 4 of the Gospels have this event in them? God must have really wanted this story to be told. Why do you think that might be? Well, I think because it shows the true nature of God and His relationship with us. And so what I want to do is use our gospel story as the backdrop of talking in thinking about the nature of Jesus this morning. First, this event shows us that Jesus loves us and He cares for us. Even in the midst that was all that was happening around Jesus, He set aside His sorrow. He set aside His disappointment. He probably set aside some righteous anger too, because He wanted to care for His flock, both physically and spiritually. He knew that it was impossible to, you know, care about the needs of His flock, maybe physically, without caring for them spiritually too. This lesson involves Jesus feeding the people physically bread, but He also fed them spiritually. Matter of fact, this is kind of a foreshadowing of what Jesus said later on that we read in John chapter 6, because He said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And you know what, folks? He gives us our food today, the same food. Right here. He wants us to know through His teaching and through His action that God will provide for everything that we need. We shouldn't have to worry about that. As a matter of fact, in Luke 12, He said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." We just have to trust that He will take care of us. But you know what? Even at first, His own disciples were kind of skeptical that He was going to be able to feed this crowd until they saw what He did. The crowd saw what He did. He taught this wonderfully simple lesson, with really not saying very many words at all. Notice that He did this for everybody that was present that day. Anybody that wanted to eat. He didn't say, "Oh, well, this is only for the people that believe in Me." He didn't say, "Oh, well, this is only for My closest followers." No! Anyone who wanted something to eat received it from Jesus. He knew that some of them believed in Him. He also knew that some of them thought of Him as the Messiah King. As a matter of fact, John tells us that they wanted to take Him by force and make Him be a king. And He also knew that some people were only there for the food, only there because they were hungry. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, Jesus confronted them on the other side of the lake. In John's Gospel, we read that Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for Me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." You see, even Jesus can even take their little bit of faith and multiply it so that it becomes a great amount of faith. And that's the second thing I want us to notice about Jesus and His nature and His relationship with us. In Jesus' hands, little becomes much. Jesus took a little bit of food, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and fed upwards of 10,000 people that day. He did it physically to care for the needs of the people that were present. And He took a little bit of faith of His followers, and He turned it into sacrificial faith. And He can take little old us, and He can, in His hands, make a lot of faith if we just let Him do that. I mean, I never thought that I'd be here today in front of you years ago. I mean, I only had a little bit of faith when he got a hold of me. I could have resisted. I could have made up excuses. Actually, I did make up excuses. I can't do that. I can't, you know, why were you asking me to do that? I'm not equipped to preach or to do any of the other things that I ended up doing today. I'm not pastor material. But I allowed Jesus to put me in his hands. Listen, if he can do it with me, he can certainly do it with you or anyone else. It's like the disciples placing the loaves and the fish in Jesus' hands. He created an abundance. When Jesus puts on your heart that he wants you to do something, what do you do? Do you automatically go to the excuses? You know, thinking up reasons why you can't do it? Are you like the disciples in our gospel lesson, focusing on your small amount of resources? Focusing on your small amount of knowledge? Focusing on your limited skills? Or are you open to see what he can do in you and with you? Do you really think God would ask you to do something that he's not going to already give you everything you need to accomplish it? You know, don't let the idea that you or your resources are too small. Smallness for us is just an opportunity for God to make abundance. Allow God to show you the power to make small great. Now, the third thing I want to bring out in our gospel lesson today is that there's a lesson in the leftovers. As I said, Jesus meets us where we are, what our needs are. He meets our needs. He knows what he wants to accomplish in us, and he knows what he wants to accomplish through us. And he uses what we offer him. You know, he took those 5 loaves and 2 fish that were all the crowd can offer that day, and he accomplished his purpose of feeding the multitude, physically and spiritually. And he takes us too, if we offer ourselves to him. And he'll multiply our efforts to such a great an extent that we can't even imagine what he can do. And there, so much so that there will be leftovers. Now, what do I mean by that? In God's economy, he will work in you so that your life will spill over to others, that will spill over to others, that will spill over to others, and so on. God does not want the leftovers to be wasted. He makes the most of every opportunity to move in people's lives. Using the analogy of the boy that's bringing this little bit of food as his resource, if you bring him what you can, he will, and you put yourself in Jesus' hands, he will multiply your work in his kingdom. But if you don't offer him anything, he's got nothing to work with. I'll give you an example. Here at Epiphany, we have needs. You know, we have needs for volunteers for different things. You know, for example, let's say, you know, it may be greeting people as they come into church. Or it may be to be an usher in one of the services. Or it may be to work in the nursery on a given Sunday. Or it may be to teach a Sunday school class. Whoa, I can't do that. I've never taught a class. I wouldn't know what to do. Well, I didn't either. The first time I taught a third grade Sunday school class. But you know what? Jesus gave me people to help me in that effort. He gave me materials, lessons to teach them. He gave me my ability, my skills, which basically was to be able to read and to be able to talk. That's all that I needed. But in Jesus' hands, he took the little I had and he made it much. You know what? I ended up teaching for 10 years because I found that I loved it so much. I loved the kids. and the interaction with them. And the leftovers? Just as Jesus had his disciples gather up the leftovers from the field that day so as not to waste the food, Jesus doesn't waste the opportunity to use all the benefits that comes out of your work for his kingdom. Any kind of volunteer for his kingdom, he will multiply, and there will be leftovers. Let me give you an example. If someone, let's say, decided to volunteer to be a greeter, and you're greeting people, and let's say you talk to a particular person, and you know what? That's the thing that registered on their mind when they left here at Epiphany. And they went back and they told their friends and their family, Epiphany's really friendly. And they got that idea because of you. And people started then more people attending. Or let's say you have an opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. And you may not know how you're affecting these children that you're teaching. But there will be leftovers. I mean, I've had kids come to me that are almost grown and tell me, you know, I remember a particular class that you taught and it meant so much to me. There's leftovers. Believe me, I'm no great teacher. The thing is that I was willing to put myself in Jesus' hands when he presented the opportunity for me to do that. Folks, whatever you offer, he can use and he will multiply it. That's what it takes. Willingness to put everything in Jesus' hands so that he can multiply it, so that he can work with it. You know, maybe it's your finances, maybe your career, maybe your family, maybe your whole life in Jesus' hands. He will do it if you trust him to. And then stand back and watch Jesus go to work. You know, you'll be like one of those disciples. Can't you just picture it in the field that day when he was pulling out food and pulling out food and pulling out food over and over again? Can't you just see the disciples' jaws going, I can't believe he's doing that. But he's God. He can do it. And he can do it in you. If you just put your life in his hands. Amen? Amen. Amen.